Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week are Dr. Brian J. Fertig, Academic Associate Professor at Hackensack Meridian Health Medical School and Chair, Department of Diabetes and Endocrinology at Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. And I'm also joined by Dr. Deepak Chopra, founder of the Chopra Foundation, a nonprofit entity for research on well-being and humanitarianism, and Chopra Global, one of Time Magazine's top 100 most influential people, a world-renowned pioneer in integrative medicine and personal transformation. And together, these two gentlemen, these two doctors, have authored the book Quantum Body, The New Science of Living a Longer, Healthier, More Vital Life. Both are leaders in their field. A lot of information there. I think we're out of time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me this morning. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you both on the program. You guys wrote the book together, as I mentioned. How did the two of you meet, and how did you end up working together?
Well, I was introduced to Brian from Jack Tuzinski, who's also a co-author on our book. Jack is a quantum biologist and a quantum physicist in university in Canada and also in Europe. And we met at the Science of Consciousness conference and subsequently at several conferences organized by the Brain Mapping Society in Los Angeles.
Okay, so let's start with this. And I want to talk about Dr. Fertig, when we talk about your knowledge and your advancements of metabolic studies as it pertains to JFK University Medical Center, and I want to start with the physiological purpose and its connection to quantum consciousness and metabolism.
Sure. What's most inspiring and important in life is not what we do or how we do it. It's why we do it. It's knowing how it's intrinsically beneficial to ourselves and to others. This is physiological purpose. In a sense, it's tantamount to free will or willpower, which are the same. It's the will and power to survive. Foundationally motivated for the acquisition of food, for which the brain principally evolved, but for many modern-day vitalizing challenges, such as winning a sports competition, an academic accomplishment, or providing a service for the community. Now, Your sense of value is motivated to have a healthier and fuller life. Like voluntary calorie restriction, we achieve free will by increasing the efficiency of energy production. And more fundamentally, by understanding and believing in what is your cause. Now, it makes sense that consciousness of free will, rooted in the mind at the quantum level, which equates to unlimited possibilities, would synchronize with the quantum metabolism mode of energy production in the physical body and brain. And this would serve as a framework for the mind-body connection. Moreover, consistent with general relativity that time does not exist as an absolute quantity, that the past, the present, the future are happening simultaneously. And in this sense, we achieve successes in life before they're experienced in real time, at least relative to the illusion of linear time.
So you're saying we experience something before it happens?
Yes. We experience it after it happens. Yeah, because of the nonlinear nature of time. Now, for example, so long that there's no doubt in that field goal kicker's mind, that ball is going through the uprights before the ball's even kicked. This is true of many successes in life. It's true of the placebo effect. It's true of health effects, of positive thinking, all manifestations of free will.
Visualizing it as you're approaching
it. Absolutely. Not thinking about it, because that will collapse the whole quantum process here. But understanding and believing in what is your cause erases self-doubt and and promotes the quantum manifestations of consciousness and metabolism.
Let me back up a little. What is quantum metabolism? Can you define that to somebody like myself who is not well versed in the subject?
Sure. Joel, let me first describe metabolism, and it comes from the Greek metabolismos, which means change. It's the totality of all chemical reactions in the body. And at its core, it's about energy, its consumption, its storage, its production, its utilization, ultimately its balance. Now, the distinguishing feature of a living system from a physical or inanimate one is metabolism. So when we talk about metabolic rate, we're talking about energy production and utilization. And this is defined by the amount of energy produced per unit time, but in the quantum sense of metabolism, this is the amount of energy produced per unit time over which it's correlated, over a mass in which it's correlated for absolute synchronization and physiological perfection. Now, quantum metabolism, or the quantum mode of energy production, is the slowest form of metabolism because of its maximum efficiency and integration, which are the hallmarks of health.
Okay, you said it's the slowest? Now, is that healthy, or is it healthier to have a fast metabolism? Is that a healthy?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. A healthy metabolism is dependent on metabolic efficiency, independent of metabolic rate. While metabolic rate is defined by the amount of energy produced per unit time, metabolic efficiency is the negative correlation to the amount of oxygen that's required to make a given amount of energy. So the more oxygen you require, the lower the metabolic efficiency. Metabolic efficiency is favorably or unfavorably affected by the quantity, the quality, or timing of five major behaviors.
Okay.
Diet, sleep, physical, social, cognitive activity, as well as psychogenic stress.
Okay, wait, now, diet?
Example,
is it diet, sleep?
The physical, social, and cognitive activities.
Okay.
And psychogenic stress. Now, a physical behaviors may, that could include yoga or ice baths or exercise. And if the quantity, quality, and timing of these activities is favorable, it promotes a moderate inflammatory stress that instructs the genes to produce anti-inflammatory systems, which promote increased metabolic efficiency and a faster metabolic rate, which are both healthy and conducive to weight loss. However,
okay,
if we inappropriately try to increase metabolic rate, for example, by over-exercising or taking stimulants such as Adderall, we can overwhelm the energy-producing machinery, and this causes oxidant stress and free radical generation.
Well, can you give an example of over-exercising? Because I exercise, I don't know what would be too much, what would be too little, and what I'm gathering is you don't want to increase your metabolism too much.
Yeah, no, that's the well. When you over-exercise, it will lead to a rapid decline of your metabolic efficiency. It will slow your metabolic rate and accelerate biological aging. So, aerobic exercise in the morning and resistive training in the afternoon are the optimal times for generating this moderate inflammatory stress.
And so if I'm a runner, which I am, it's best for me to run in the morning.
Yes. So what you're going to do, what this does is you'll more easily upregulate the antioxidant systems because you're generating just the right amount of inflammatory stress. And this is favorable to health. and fitness. However, those are also the times when you're most sensitive to overexercising, which is associated with an excessive inflammatory stress, and which is unfavorable to the health and fitness. So the degree of which you exercise, it's important, the type of exercise, the timing, and how much is relative to your conditioning. So if you're very fit, you can do a lot of exercise and it be favorable, and you can upregulate these antioxidant systems. But if you're not, you've got to take it easy. And so these sort of weekend warriors, so to speak, that's not the way to do it. You're actually going to do yourself more harm than good.
Okay. All right. Talking with Dr. Brian J. Fertig of Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center, and Dr. Deepak Chopra, founder of the Chopra Foundation. I think we should bring Dr. Chopra into the conversation. You talk about a turn in your life, a surprising turn in your life, which took place many years ago. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, it was in the early 80s, and like Brian, I trained in metabolism, endocrinology and metabolism, and then I started to train in neuroendocrinology, which is the study of brain chemistry. And it was in the 70s, actually, that I was doing my training, and that was a very interesting time because molecules of emotion were being identified, such as serotonin, oxytocin, dopamine, opiates. One of my colleagues, Candice Pert, had discovered the opioid receptor. And so I saw a connection between what was happening in the mind and how that was translating into biochemical activity in the brain, in neuropeptides, as they're called. But later, it was obvious that there were receptors to these neuropeptides in every cell of the body, not just the brain, so stomach cells and heart cells and so on. And there was a back and forth of information from the brain to the body and from the body to the brain. So that was my interest, and that sparked a revolution, at least in me internally, which I wrote about, and it was the mind-body connection. Afterwards, I realized even the word mind-body connection was inappropriate because mind and body are entangled in every experience that we have. And one seminal incident actually took me to a whole new level. I was speaking to a patient, and I reluctantly informed him that he might have cancer. And as soon as I said that word cancer, I could see his crestfallen face, the blood flow to his facial muscles, changed, his blood pressure went up, his heart rate went up. I could guess that he had sticky platelets and inflammation as a result of just this inflammation. And then I realized in less than a minute that I was reading the wrong chart. And I apologized to him. And I said, that wasn't you, that was somebody else. And immediately, everything changed. His blood pressure went down. His heart rate slowed down. I could guess that his platelets were not that sticky. Inflammation was going down. And I realized that our metabolism responds moment by moment to every experience. And experience occurs in consciousness, nowhere else. Mm-hmm. So that led me to the whole idea of quantum consciousness, quantum biology, quantum mind. I published a book called Quantum Healing in 1988, I believe. It was vilified by the medical establishment, so much so that I actually left my position at Harvard and teaching hospitals in Boston because I thought I was going to get fired. I went to California, and the same thing happened over there. But now, so many years later, We're talking about, you know, almost 50 years later.
Yeah.
We have science. We have epigenetics. We have neuroplasticity. We know the connection between consciousness, mind, and body. And this has huge implications. Just to actually share with you that, you know, after we wrote the book, Brian and I and Jack, I started doing some search on AI and going into, you know, all the libraries which are so easily available. And even this morning, Brian, I went to Bard and went to, you know, Google AI and ChatGPT. I said, how many reactions occur in a single cell in a human body per second? And the answer was 10 to the power of 6. Then I asked the question, can these all occur simultaneously and coherently without invoking quantum mechanics? And it said, oh, yeah, the classical systems explain all this. I said, can our metabolic activities, you know, Krebs cycle, glycolysis, glycogenolysis, and so forth, they all have to be coordinated. Can that occur without invoking quantum mechanics? And said, no, quantum mechanics is not necessary to invoke that. I asked the question, how does the human body think thoughts, play a piano, kill germs, remove toxins, and make a baby all at the same time while tracking the movement of stars and planets as their own biological rhythms? So, oh, we don't need quantum mechanics for that. You know, all life on this planet begins with photosynthesis, our sensory processing, our motor activity, our athletic peak performances, which require immense coordination of all the muscles in the body. And with at the same time, sensory processing is behind what Brian is saying and what Jack is saying as well.
Your body isn't what you think it is.
Your body appears physical, but it is that physical appearance of the body emerges from a deeper field, which scientists now call the quantum field. It is in us, it is around us, and it pervades the universe. And that quantum field, if you again, you go to mainstream science, is that quantum field self-regulating? It says, yes, the evidence says it is. Well, then you go to the next question, is it self-aware? And then the mainstream science says, no. How can you have self-regulation without self-awareness? It's just beyond me how far behind mainstream science is. But I'd let Brian answer these questions as well. Brian, what is your take on what I just said?
Well, I think it's the quantum mode of energy production is the hallmark of health, of maximum efficiency and integration. That's consciousness is the raw field experience drive, not only what we from our senses, but our thoughts or feelings or emotions, motivations and free will. It's also an emotional intelligence. That's what consciousness is also this. And it's, in a sense, it's an awareness of perspectives. It's about self-awareness, awareness of others, and how our motivations and free will are beneficial to ourselves and to others, and how they're perceived by others. So this is necessary for understanding and connecting the dots, the creative insights that we have. This is understanding, which in turn is necessary for real world applications and problem solving. Now, electrical circuits are very important in neuroscience. They're likely included at the quantum scale, where consciousness is stored and processed in microtubules and nerves in the brain. And accordingly, these electromagnetic fields are rising from microtubules likely synchronize consciousness with quantum metabolism, motive energy production. And that is, you know, it's just an infinite integration of mind, body, within an individual and beyond.
One of the things that Brian has been speaking about in the last few minutes is free will. And, you know, classical science is totally deterministic. Everything is totally deterministic. But quantum mechanics opens the window to flexibility of choice. So before a thought emerges, it's actually a cloud of probabilities in the same way. Mm-hmm. As a quantum event is a cloud of probabilities, and then one probability out of many is actualized as what we call the collapse of the wave function, which also, by the way, is the emergence of a thought or a qualia. So I think there's connection between the quality of experience and the quantity as described in quantum mechanics, you know, emergent particles are determined by the uncertainty principle, which leaves room for creativity and free will. And that also happens in consciousness. You cannot predict your next thought, although biology becomes a creative expression of consciousness.
Now, for the couple minutes we have left, we're talking with Dr. Brian J. Fertig and Dr. Deepak Chopra. You are what you eat should be. You are what you ate.
Because you, metabolism is now a consequence of what you already ate. It's, you know, there's an expression in Eastern wisdom traditions. You are the metabolism of experience, including what Brian just said, time. You know, we metabolize time into entropy, and there's something called negative entropy, which is life, and that all these principles are outlined in our book, but their principles derived from quantum mechanics. Brian?
Yes, Dr. Fertig, why don't you have the last word?
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to say something quickly about this, too, because healthy lifestyle behaviors were also associated with a slow metabolism, and this equates to an increased metabolic efficiency and a low metabolic rate. And unlike with physical activities that require upregulation of antioxidant systems for health, it doesn't require this. Now, this is often the case in lifestyles of the East of Asia, where they don't eat a lot. The pace of living is slower, but there's very strong social support systems with resilience to toxic psychogenic stress. And this is consistent with Okinawa, Japan, with the highest number of centenarians in the world. Just wanted to make that point.
Thank you, gentlemen. Dr. Brian J. Fertig, Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center, and Dr. Deepak Chopra, founder of the Chopra Foundation. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Deepak.
For more information, you can go to jfkmc.org. For a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. And I'm Joel Katz. We'll talk to you again next week.